May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Pretty tough lessons before us today, especially the gospel. The words can almost pierce our hearts, if not our minds, as we read them and hear them spoken. When our children were young, we took our first family vacation to Disney World in Orlando. It was great. One of the most memorable experiences was going to an attraction called Space Mountain. If you've been there, you know it. The line to go in is almost as much fun as the ride itself, which is good, since on a crowded day it takes at least 45 minutes to get to the beginning of that ride. You wind up and around this long, dark, cool walkway with all kinds of images going on, very much sort of interstellar space kinds of things. And as you get closer and closer to the ride, you become aware with each step of how scary this roller coaster will be. It zooms across the tracks and down the steep hills and sharp curves in complete darkness. It is pitch dark, except for the lights on the roller coaster. So you don't know what's about to happen. And as we approached, Ellen, me, and Gabrielle, who was about 11, and Conrad, who would have been about 8, and Philip, who was 5. As we approached the last bit of the line, there is a big neon sign which says, "Last chance to exit." Now, you don't know my daughter that well because she's only been here to visit some. She is in Charleston, is married, and in fact, that's where Ellen is this weekend with Conrad. They're visiting with Gabrielle and Anthony. But Gabrielle has always been a serious child. And she was extremely bright as well. And my boys, who are smart, you see, I can talk about Conrad because he's not here today. But you know, they're carefree, kind of like, this is going to be great, this is exciting, you know, somewhat typical boys. Gabrielle, the whole way as we were going up, was analyzing the situation. And she was doing this thing that she used to do with her fingers, like as we were going online. This cute little blonde, thin little blonde girl with her dark tan, kind of worrying about what is going to happen. So when we get up to the sign, she reads it and goes, "I need to exit." At which point, as a selfish dad, I'm thinking, and Ellen, we're thinking, wait a second, we've been online for a long time to get on this ride. And of course, the boys were excited. So I said, well, let me see what we can do here. Because it really was a place where you could exit. So we spoke to the attendant there. I got off the line with Gabrielle because she was really nervous. And the attendant said, oh, this happens. And we go down with them. The ride is like 2 minutes. It's over. We're about to get on. And we'll be down there with her. And Gabrielle was mature and not worried to be left alone. She just knew she wasn't getting on that roller coaster. So she exited. And of course, being the wonderful teaser that I am, I have never let her forget the phrase, "I need to exit." From today's Psalm 139, "Lord, you have searched me out and known me. You trace my journeys and my resting places and are acquainted with all my ways." We heard the choir, along with the congregation, beautifully sing those words. It's one of the most beautiful psalms and one of the most important ones in my prayer life. So much so that I just sort of meditated on the words this morning and listened to the choir singing them. God searches you out. God knows more about you than you know about yourself, and more than any other human being knows about you, even someone perhaps that you've spent your entire life with and have loved. The reality of our Christian spiritual journeys is that we are always confronted with choices to make with a God who already knows our ways. And yet the choices are there: to be loving or to be hateful, to be generous or to be selfish, to be understanding and forgiving or to be judgmental, to be caring or to be unconcerned, to be trustworthy or to be untrustworthy, to be faithful or to be unfaithful. I do not believe that God always places the choices before us. We as Anglicans, as Episcopalians, believe in free will, the freedom to choose. But the choices are there, and God, who knows us, is looking at those choices. And yet there are, I believe, times as well that God does place a choice before you. And the disciples and those that were following Jesus, the crowds that were around him, many were faithful Jews and were students of the Torah and knew it well. And they would have been thinking of the great choice that God placed before the Israelites as they stood at the edge of the Promised Land, and God spoke through Moses and said, "By loving the Lord your God, walking in his ways, and observing his commandments, decrees, and ordinances, then you shall live and become numerous. And the Lord your God will bless you in the land that you are entering to possess." But then God says through Moses, "But if your heart turns away, and you do not hear, but are led astray, to bow down to other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall perish." So the question before us today is, how have we acted in such moments in our lives? When God perhaps has placed a decision before you, or you have had the free will to choose, how have you acted? How will you act in the next moment? Because the rest is past. We can only live from this moment forward. When we heard Jeremiah read beautifully this morning, it's a tremendously powerful passage where Jeremiah is asked by God to come to the potter's house. We probably have some here who are potters. I am not, but I have witnessed it and just enjoyed watching it and know what an art it is and how fragile the clay is as you're working with it. And God intentionally brings Jeremiah there to a potter who is working with clay, forming the clay. And he witnesses the clay sort of collapse. And so the potter works it into a new form. We are reworked by God into God's ways, into God's will. We are that clay. That was exactly God's point to Jeremiah. But only if we allow the potter's hands to form us. Now, today's gospel complicates that question even further. It's a tough gospel. I have to tell you that I battled with it when I was preparing and really didn't want to preach on it. and wanted to see how it tied with the other lessons, Jesus proclaims to the large crowds traveling with him these words that are hard for us to hear. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. The passage ends with Christ's words, with even harder words, perhaps. None of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Now, these are some of the words, by the way, that the biblical literalists usually forget to take literally. You're supposed to laugh there, unless you're a biblical literalist. I've never heard one argue giving up all their possessions or hating father and mother, literally. So how are we to understand Christ's intentions? Christ did not literally mean that we should hate our father, mother, wife, children, brothers, or sisters, but rather that when we are faced with a choice that God places before us, our decision, the decision that you make, should be for God over anyone else's influence. Christ did not mean that we should literally hate our life, but rather that the natural instincts of our lives should not have dominion over the choices that God would have us make. The harsh and vivid examples that Jesus uses illustrate how important it is that we choose God's will at those important moments in your life. Choose what God would have you do. Let God be the potter. Let yourself be the clay. And if you need to be remodeled, reworked, let God rework you. Can you look at your life today and see where it stands? Is God placing some life, prosperity, death, adversity, choice before you to decide? Will you have God have influence over those free choices that you can make every day and do? Theologian Dorothy Zella wrote, "We can neither deceive God nor impose something on him. We can only slowly forget God. And that would be terrible, since then we would slowly be forgetting ourselves as well. Lord, you have searched me out and known me." Amen.